Good evening. Appreciate the opportunity to bring a very brief devotional to you tonight. And my wife got on me and said, you always go over. So hopefully I'm going to be more brief tonight than I have been. But anyway, I'd like for us to, I should tell you the beginning. I gave this a title, He Hath Done All Things Well. And we'll be looking to begin with in Mark chapter 7. At one of the miracles that our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, performed. And we'll read from verses 31 through verses 37, Mark 7. And again, departing from the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's just pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to open your word. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for giving your Son. And we thank you for the opportunity to read again from your word of the various miracles and things that he accomplished to speak to us and to show the world when he was here on earth who God is, and that they might come to know him and have their lives changed and have eternal life. Help with this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark is the only evangelist of the four who wrote the four Gospels to record this miracle. And Mark included it in his gospel mainly because it was an instance of Jesus healing a Gentile. We see Jesus here caring for one who was deaf and dumb. He was brought by his friends to Jesus to have Jesus put his hand on him. They must have heard of Jesus' reputation and his ability to heal. Interesting enough, I was listening for the first time that I've ever gone on BBN.org and the Bible Institute today after I'd worked on this and put it together. I still had a little bit of queasiness about, you know, what I was going to bring. And so I listened to, when you go to Bible Institute, the BBN Bible Institute, you can listen to whoever it is that's speaking on whatever Bible book that you're, you know, whatever subject you want. So anyway, this guy said an interesting thing was that this was one of very few of the people who had an infirmity that did not come to Jesus and speak for himself. But it was his friends that brought him to Jesus. And these friends evidently believed that Jesus could help and heal their friend. And in this incident, different from some of the other incidents, Jesus took this one aside from the multitude. Now, many of the other miracles that we read about in the Scriptures and in the Gospels, he did the miracle of healing them and opening their eyes or helping them to speak or bringing them back to life. And a lot of people were right there and saw it. But he took him aside, and perhaps this was because he didn't want this deaf and dumb man to be distracted. We're not really sure. But the one thing we do know, the Lord Jesus never on any occasion sought his own glory. And every believer, beginning with the speaker, needs to learn to be humble, to do good where no human eyes see us. Jesus put his fingers into his ears. We read that first. As this was his indistinct articulation, and it arose from his deafness. And so our Lord addressed that first. He touched his ear first. And then, because this deaf and dumb man could hear nothing, our Lord substitutes symbolic actions upon each of the organs that were affected. And then he spits on his finger and touches his tongue. Right after that, he looked up into heaven, and he sighed. And one of the commentaries that I looked into for this particular portion of Scripture said that he sighed because of what the devil had had the ability to do to take this man and put him in this state where he could not hear nor could he speak. But after he sighed, he looked up into heaven and he acknowledged his Father, even at the same time while the healing was seen to flow from him. He saith unto this deaf and dumb man, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Straightway, immediately, we could say his ears were opened. And this is mentioned first because this was the source of his other derangement, the ability not to speak. Most of the time, if a person cannot hear, then they do not really know what a word is or to how to enunciate it. And therefore, the Lord Jesus opened his ears and then touched his tongue. And when he spoke, the interesting thing is that he spoke very plainly. And the first person that he spoke to was the Lord himself. What a wonderful thing for any of us if the first words that we ever could say would have been to the Lord Jesus and been face to face with him. But, of course, we had not had that opportunity. The people, the friends, the Gentile friends that had brought him to the Lord were beyond measure. And another explanation for that was they were extremely overwhelmed, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now, these were man's words. These were man's opinion of the Lord Jesus. What I'd like for us to do now is to look at two instances where we hear God's words and God's opinion of the Lord Jesus. And to do that, we're going to stay in the same book, turn back to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. We know man's opinion. Man said he doeth all things well. What does his heavenly Father think of him? In Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Heavenly Father could have said, He has done all things well, and He would have accomplished almost the same thing. But He said, This is my beloved Son, because He wanted those around where Jesus was being baptized not only to know that He pleased Him and that He did all things well, but that this was His Son. This is God's authoritative evaluation of Jesus. And far more important than what man might think of Jesus was what his heavenly Father thought of him. And at this point, at Jesus' baptism, after he was baptized, he began his official role as the Messiah. Let's go to another place where we read of God's opinion of his Son. And in the same book, Mark chapter 9, in verses 2 through 7. And you're very familiar with this portion of Scripture, because it's the transfiguration. We will read in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him. I'm sorry, I jumped over to the other column in my Bible. Anyway, and suddenly when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore except Jesus, only with themselves. Now, after Jesus was transfigured, Peter made a remark, let's make 3 booths, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. And it was because Peter was like me sometimes. He stuck his foot in his mouth. Maybe a lot more times than he should have, but he spoke before he really thought, and it said he was very much afraid. And I think we all would have been if we'd have been there and seen Elijah and Moses appear with the Lord Jesus. And he didn't think these are just mere men. And I'm putting them on the same level. To have a booth for them and a booth for Jesus is to put them on the same level. And immediately a voice from heaven came out. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Now, he could have also said there, God the Father could have said, "He hath done all things well." But he also wanted them to know, particularly Peter, that this was his Son, the Son of God. The heavenly voice assured the disciples that even though the Jews would reject Jesus and the Romans would execute him, he was still pleasing to his Father. Now, let's look at some other items or other instances. We could look at many if we had a lot of time, because we know the Lord Jesus did all things well, whatever it was he did. But I'd like for us to look at three or four more things, blessings, activities, things that he accomplished to do his Father's will while he was here on earth that he also did well. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 22, and we will read from verses 39 through 42. Luke 22, verses 39 through 42. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And he came out and went as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The prayer that he prayed itself reveals complete dependence on the Father's will. Jesus asked for the removal of the cup. He requested it only if it was possible, if the Father was willing. But in any case, the Lord Jesus submitted to his Father's will above all. All through the Gospel of Luke, we see frequent references to Jesus' conscious fulfillment of God's purposes. I'd like for us to look at another example of the Lord doing all things well, and we'll go to chapter 19 of John, and we'll look at one verse there. John chapter 19 and one verse, and here we have our Savior hanging on the cross. When Jesus, therefore, received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. He probably shouted with an explanation of triumph, because in one of the Gospels, if I'm not mistaken, could have been Matthew, might have been Luke, but one of them, it said he cried with a loud voice. So even though his life was being taken from him, we know that he gave it up. He could have called legions of angels to take him down from the cross and wipe out his enemies. But we think that, and we're pretty confident, he probably shouted with an explanation of triumph, "Tetelestai." Now that's a word we learn in EE. And tetelestai means it is paid, it is finished, the debt is paid. And the verb teleo denotes the completion of a task. Jesus was not just announcing that he was about to die. He was also declaring in advance that he had fulfilled God's will for him. I'd like for us to turn to another one, and I only have two more, so I may not get the wrath of my wife tonight. I may finish on time. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 5 and 6. I'd like for us to look there for just a moment. Matthew 28, and reading from verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered, and this is where the women have gone to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." The angel calmed the women's fear caused by the shock of observing the scene by him speaking to them. And what they observed was that there was no one in the tomb. And of course, that would be very disturbing, because at that point in their hearts and in their minds, perhaps they had not really taken in that Jesus was who He said He was and that He would arise from the dead. He would be resurrected. Of all the possible reasons for the tomb being open and empty that the women could have imagined in their wildest imaginations, the angel clarified the one true explanation. Jesus had risen from the grave. The last one I'd like for us to look at about our Savior doing all things well is in Ephesians. And it's in the first chapter, Ephesians 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, through which He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Jesus was completely accepted by His Father. All of His character, all of His words, all of His work was acceptable to God the Father. And because what He had done and the way He had lived and all of the Lord's will that the Lord Jesus had carried out for the Father, He raised Him from the dead. And that was proven to the world that the work that He had sent His Son to do had been completed up to the level and the whatever standard that God the Father had set for Him. And so we in Him are also accepted in the Beloved. What I'd like for us to do in the last little bit of time that we have, which I've gone over, unless I got a fast hand on this watch, last thought, think back for a moment in your minds and in your hearts over the last 12 months. Think back in your minds and your hearts over the last 5 years, over the last 10 years, and reminisce on the various different things, the different blessings that you, your family, and your friends have experienced. Just for a moment, just think of a few things that have happened. Even as we were hearing in here of the various prayer requests, many were of praise where the Lord Jesus had done many things well. I'm sure all of us would have to echo tonight with the deaf and the dumb man's friends, along with God the Father, He hath done all things well. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the great love that You had for us and You have for us. In John 3:16, we cannot take in that word so, but we know God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. How thankful we are that we met Him one night, some during the daytime, but some of us at night, some of us in church, some of us at home, and we received Him as Savior. What a difference You make in our lives. We ask Your blessings on each one here. Pray for those that would have liked to have been out but couldn't make it because of illness or whatever. Thank You for much answered prayer. Continue to go with us as we go to our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.